Praise the Lord, beloved. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to your name, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, glory to your name, oh, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Beloved, this is Cornerstone Deliverance Church. This is our weekly Bible study session. We welcome you to the Bible study for the King of Kings and me. Praise God. Our men's fellowship for the month of June. Praise God. Hallelujah. We salute our King of Kings, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We give him glory. We give him praise. We give him honor. We invoke his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to his name. We are located at 830 Pepperidge Road in Westbury, New York, 11590. And our website is www.cornerstonedeliverancechurch.com. We welcome you to Wednesday night Bible study. Eternal Father, in the name of Jesus, by the blood, oh God, we give you glory, we give you praise, we give you honor, even right down in Jesus' name, oh God. Oh Father, we commit this Bible study unto thee. Oh God, remember those that are pressing their way to be in your presence in this virtual service, oh God. Father, prepare their hearts and minds to receive the wisdom of the Lord, the knowledge of the Lord, the word of God, and all of the provision that the word of God is bringing. Father, we ask now that you anoint the speaker of the hour, O God. Use him for your glory in the name of Jesus by the blood. Put your word in his mouth, and we give you glory, and we give you praise, and we give you honor in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the Holy Ghost, who is truly the administrator of Cornerstone Deliverance Church. Amen. And we thank Apostle Asia Hurd, who is our founder and leader of Cornerstone Deliverance Church. We thank you, and I thank you, Saint, on this evening for being able to take some time to dine and sup with me under the unction of the Holy Spirit, to hear what thus saith the Lord, not just individually, but collectively as the body of Christ. Amen? Because no matter where we may be, we be in Texas, we be in Georgia, we be in Virginia, we be in North Carolina, we be in New York City, we be in Africa, we be in India, we are all kingdom. Amen? So I thank you for this time, and I thank God for being able to give me a word from the word this evening. Amen. So let's kind of just jump on in there. Amen. And what we have been beautifully experiencing this month in this series that was downloaded into Apostle to have, hallelujah, to have this series, which we entitled King of Kings in Me. Amen. The King of Kings in me. And we were blessed from the first week with through Prophet Atkins about the King of Kings that live in me, and letting us know that we are sons and daughters of the King, and the aspects of what we are able to obtain as being the sons and daughters of a King. Amen. And that how we are all kingdom. Amen. And being able to move in our prestigious place and be able to take advantage of all the things that have been laid upon us and for us through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then following that, the week after, I was able to delve deeper into a kingdom man. Amen. And we dealt with the topic of a male by birth and a man by choice. Amen. That first series was a male by birth and a man by choice. And then Sunday, we got to be able to talk about the topic of from boys to men and those four principles that will allow us to be able to function successfully in a crisis or outside of a crisis, where we talked about there's really not a crisis, but there's only a crisis of creativity. Amen? And this week is very dear to my heart, and I must honestly say before I even go further that this was probably the hardest sermon that I had to do because it's from the aspect of a woman, of what God expects from a kingdom woman. And there's just some things innately I know about a man because I'm a man. But when it comes about things innately about a woman, and not only that, a kingdom woman, according to the biblical principles, it was a challenge. Amen? But this challenge arose because of all the men that I talked to, and some of the things that they said was, Bishop, now that we and now that God through you has established what a kingdom man is and what he should do and what he shouldn't do and the responsibility and accountability, not just to his house, let us know what it takes to become a kingdom wife and what does that look like. Amen? So even though they didn't say it in those words, as I talked to some of the men, I was able to grasp the nucleus or the root of what they was actually saying and acting. Amen? It's no different from when you go to the card store and you see something that's written that's exactly how you feel about somebody, but they just was able to put it in those words that laid it out beautifully. Amen? So being able to hear a multitude of things that was being patched about what they desired to hear, and I was impressed that it wasn't about the man as much as it was about now that we understand how to move and be in our rightful place, how do we help as a helpmate, as a covering, to be able to help the wife fulfill her role as a kingdom wife. Amen? So this is how today was derived. So today we're going to talk about what it takes to become a kingdom wife. Amen? And our subject for today is Eve, where art thou? Eve, where art thou? That's our subtopic for today. So we dealt with a male by birth and a man by choice. And we dealt with from boys to men. And today we're dealing with Eve. Where art thou? And this shout, saints, or this cry, or this roar is coming from the kingdom man and those that desire a wife, like the Proverbs 31 woman. Amen? And those kingdom men that desire favor from the Lord, like the husband of the Proverbs 31 woman. Amen? So it's reciprocal. And those who desire, saints, to be known at the gates when they too sit among the elders of the land. Because she is a woman who fears the Lord. Amen? I'm talking about a loud cry as I was talking to the gentleman. It was a loud cry from a kingdom man. Amen? Who is expressing what I would say a strong emotion or calling attention by strongly saying, Eve, where art thou? See, what I understand when we go back to the beginning in Genesis, saints, there was a time when Adam didn't even know what he needed. Adam didn't even know what he needed. Amen? And that's why in Genesis 2 and 18, God specifically says, it is not good that man should be alone. Adam didn't even know he was alone. And because of this knowledge, because of this foreknowledge, now the kingdom men understand what they need. And that's you, kingdom women. Amen? That's you, kingdom women. Amen? And the one thing You know about me, and you know about Apostle and about the vision of Cornerstone Deliverance Church, saints, is that we are kingdom-oriented. Amen? Another way, we are kingdom-minded. Amen? And we understand not only we're kingdom-minded, but we're coming under the rule of God. Amen? And today, I simply ask you, what does it look like when a wife comes under the rule of God? What does it look like when a wife comes under the rule of God? And how does that benefit her and those around her in her own family? Hallelujah. So, saints, it's my prayer, it's my desire that I hope that this will be what I think would be a very special message for every lady, amen, and for every man so that he can understand what God is saying and the biblical principle for not just the man but also for a woman, not just for a husband but also for a wife, amen? As I said, this is not for every lady, saints, who is a wife or whoever hopes to be one. Hallelujah. So let's go to the Word and find out what a king's wife looks like. Amen? With that, if you will, just turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 we'll start from. Who is a wife or whoever hopes to be one? Amen? Hallelujah. So the beauty of tonight, we will be able to see what a kingdom wife looks like. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5 and starting at verse 22. Amen. And it reads, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. Key word immediately is your own husband. Amen. And unto the Lord. So first of all, we understand immediately the submission is to Christ first as Lord and Master and not to the husband. Amen? If the wife, understanding what Paul is simply saying, that if the wife properly submits to the Lord, she will properly submit to her husband as it regards to his spiritual leadership. Amen? And that is only if he knows the Lord. If he doesn't know the Lord, such submission cannot be tended to. Amen? So that comes with limitations. Amen? If he knows the Lord. Verse 23 goes on to say, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Amen? So immediately it suggests the obedience that the wife renders to a husband is to be regarded as obedience that's rendered to Christ. Amen? Which she can do if her husband is properly following the Lord. And then it goes on to say, and he is the Savior of the body. This simply refers, saints, to the Lord being the Savior of believers. Amen? Who make up the church. So, while the husband cannot be the savior of his wife in a redemptive term, but he can be the protector, he can be the provider, he can be the priest, he can be the prophet, and he can be the promoter of his household. Amen? Last verse, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ as its head, amen? So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And this literally presupposes, saints, that the husband is conducting himself even as Christ. Amen? Amen. So as we read this, we understand the reason God, let me go back for a minute. Help me, Holy Ghost. Let me build on this. So we understand the reason God created family, the foundational institution of society, was for the advancement of his kingdom in history. Amen? Let me say that again. Help me, Holy Ghost, to pull that back. The reason God created family, which is the foundational institution of society, was for the advancement of his kingdom in history. So in other words, saints, it was a kingdom purpose. And to subdue the earth, literally that is to oversee the earth on God's behalf through the family structure and its replication. Replication being fruitful and multiply throughout the earth. Amen. Replicating the image of God. Everywhere children would establish new families. Amen. So literally the advancement of God's kingdom through family, therefore, marriage, which is the centerpiece of family, was the reason God created it. Hallelujah. But because that purpose has been lost, saints, and personal happiness has literally become, what's the word I'm looking for? It has literally become that driving force. So when people are no longer happy because they no longer connected to the purpose, then they want to no longer be a part of the institution of marriage. I hope you're getting what the Holy Spirit is putting down, because I'm a slow walk this thing tonight. So, my first concern, saints, is that we get back to the biblical purpose for families. The advancement of God's kingdom in history through the marriage of a man and a woman. Not a man and a man, and definitely not a woman and a woman. But that's a sermon for a whole nother. Matter of fact, that's a series for a whole nother time. So hear me, saints. Even if you have the biblical purpose of family, you may not be organized according to God's structure for family. I need to say that again. Even if you have the biblical purpose of family, you may not be organized, key word, according to God's structure for family. Because first we got to understand marriage is a covenant, amen? And within that covenant, saints, there is a structure. Hallelujah. And God always wants to work through his ordained structure, amen? Now here's the problem. In other words, you cannot, saints, get God's involvement if you create your own structure. If you're doing your own thing outside of his structure. So God is literally letting us know that he has a structure by which this institution in history is to operate. And God always, always starts with a man. And if the home is out of order, we have to first ask, is the man out of the word that I got from Apostle for the last couple of days? I had to literally change up my sermon because that fits so well. But if the home is out of order, we have to first ask, is the man out of alignment? That's that word, alignment. Is the man out of alignment? Because if a man is not aligned properly, saints, then Christ is not free to work. He ain't free to work to him, he ain't free to work through him, and he ain't free to work in him. Why? For the management and the ruling of his domain. Hallelujah. So the alignment of the man is critical. Oh, let's keep it all the way real. As a matter of fact, it's foundational, and it's first. But today on this beautiful Wednesday evening, we want to talk about the alignment of a woman. The alignment of a woman, the alignment of a wife, the alignment of our queen. Amen? When Satan came, hallelujah, help me, Holy Ghost. Let me go back to the beginning on this. When Satan came into the garden, he went to Eve, not Adam, on purpose. He went to Eve and not Adam for purpose. and on purpose. Amen. This was not no vicariously unintentional drive-by. This was on purpose and for a purpose. He went to Eve, saints, because he flipped God's order. He flipped God's order. Instead of going to the man, he went to the woman. And Eve became, immediately in that instance, she became the leader of the house. And Adam became what I call a passive responder. And the roles got flipped. And all hell broke loose. Hallelujah. All hell broke loose. Saints, understand this, please. Whenever roles get flipped, you don't have to invite the devil. He can invite himself. You just gave him an open door policy. Hallelujah. Oh, saints, you could be more anointed than Apostle Paul. You could be more anointed than Elijah and Elisha. You could be more powerful than Queen Esther and Abigail. Amen. And if y'all don't know about Abigail, y'all need to look at 1 Samuel and read up on Abigail. If the house is flipped, you could be more anointed and appointed than Apostle Paul and Elijah and Elisha. And you could be more powerful than Queen Esther and Abigail. And it won't make a difference if the roles are flipped. If the divine order of God is overturned, saints. So when the enemy came at Eve, he came at her for a purpose, because he knows that if he can come at her, he can flip the roles. So when we are out of alignment with God, saints, when we are out of alignment in our roles, the devil has freedom, because he knows God only works inside of his alignment. Please don't forget who Satan once was. He knows. He knows that God only works inside of his alignment. He has a divine structure. And he knows, because he didn't stay in that structure, he's where he at now. So what happens? Now the enemy creates what I call disconnection, and he creates alignment confusion. And the husband is not in his role, and the wife is not in her role, or both are not in their roles and fulfilling the alignment. Let me make this crystal clear before I go any further. This has nothing to do with equality of persons. This has nothing to do with equality of persons. What are you saying, Bishop? Watch this. Jesus is equal to God, but it has everything to do with effectiveness of function. So, saints, what I'm saying, while Jesus is equal to God in his being, he is not equal to God in his function. Because Jesus said when he came to earth, I have come to do thy will, O Lord. So what Jesus immediately did was he submitted himself to the Father to carry out his function on earth. While at the same time, according to Philippians 2, being equal to the Father. So, every woman is equal to her husband in her being, but she is not equal to her husband in her function. And this is why the Bible calls the wife a joint heir and equal partner, but without an equal function. So please, please make the distinction between equality of being and inequality of function. Are y'all with me? Somebody say something to me. So Bishop, no, y'all on the phone. Get off of mute, say hallelujah, amen, something. Hallelujah. It is. So, in other words, saints, everybody don't play the same role. Amen? Everybody don't play the same role. I'm the quarterback. You're the running back. I'm Michael Jordan. You Scottie Pippen. Amen? Everybody don't play the same role. So Paul is saying to us here in verse 22 of Ephesians 5 and 22, he's saying to us what I call, or even those may even agree that understand, the most hated word. When it says, wives, submit yourselves. And the word submit, we understand, literally means what? It means to place oneself under. So Paul is literally saying, wives, if you're married, place yourself under your husband, amen? You're equal to him in being, but he's talking about God's function according to biblical history. So when it comes to function, saints, place yourself underneath your husband. But understand this, women, God places a limitation on the placement. Mm. Yes, yes, yes. God places a limitation on that placement. Because some men we know have taken that out of context, even the very men in the house of God. God places a limitation on that placement. He says, place yourself under the husband as unto the Lord. Because he also says in the next verse, in verse 23 of Ephesians 5, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So he's literally saying, saints, he is our head. But he is your head. In other words, he's saying he is your head, but he is your head like something. Like what? Like Christ is to the church. And then he goes on to say in verse 24, as the church is subject to Christ as his head. Amen? So wives ought to be what? Wives ought to be subject to their husbands in everything. In other words, every Christian wife is to be underneath her Christian husband, but with limitations. And those limitations are simply this, that he cannot go outside of God. The husband cannot go outside of God in demanding your submission. Hallelujah. Oh, let me just say that again, saints. Understanding that we are underneath the husband as it calls to biblical historical principles, but the limitations that's placed and to make sure men that we don't bypass and women you don't let a man try to verbally manipulate that and say that he can bypass because it says the word submit. Because the limitations of that, he cannot go outside of God and demanding your submission. So it is specific, definite submission, placing yourself under. But it is placing yourself under with boundaries, ladies. There are boundaries. That is, the husband has boundaries as Christ does the church. Amen? So, yes, you must submit. Yes, you must place yourself under, but with boundaries. So, hallelujah. He cannot demand anything from you. Amen? He cannot demand anything from you that is inconsistent from what Christ demands. So you're not to be used, you're not to be abused, you're not to be abused physically, you're not to be abused emotionally, just because he has the term husband. Hallelujah. Because God has put boundaries on that term. Amen? But in those boundaries, God said, you are to yield in everything. And he has that because ultimately the husband is the one who God holds responsible. That's why even though the sermon title says, Eve, where art thou? When God came in the garden, he said, Adam, where art thou? For a purpose. Because he was held responsible. And that's why I told the men that even if our wives make a mistake, we are still held responsible. We are still held responsible to even clean up the mess. It might be tight, but it's right. We are held responsible. And one of the problems we're facing today, saints, is men is out of alignment. But the other problem that we're facing, saints, is that women are out of alignment. I'm specifically talking about women who are refusing to honor their husbands. Amen. Honor their husbands' positions. Because a husband, saints, is not just a person. A husband is a position. Your husband or your future husband has a position that is to be honored, amen, even if you disagree with the point that he's making. That ain't got nothing to do with honor just because we disagree. Why? Because it's a position, amen? So with that, to better be able to carry this through, let's look at 1 Corinthians 11 as he breaks this down in more detail. Amen? As Paul literally breaks this down in more detail, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're talking about Eve, where art thou? Hallelujah. Eve, where art thou? What it takes to become a kingdom wife, and what does it look like? 1 Corinthians 11. And let's look at verse 3. Let's review verse 3 for a minute. But first, I need to say this to the men. I need you to understand, men, that Christ is the head. Christ is the head of every man, and Jesus Christ must be able to overrule you. And if he can't overrule you, saint, you're not under authority, and that carries complications all by itself. Amen? Needed to just throw that out there. 1 Corinthians 11 and 3, and it says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, which refers to the authority. Amen? And the head of the woman is the man, which pertains to the model and how he created it. And the head of Christ is God. So verse 3 is letting us see even the more that everybody is under somebody. So Christ is under God in function, equal in God in being, amen, but under God in function. And man is submitting to the rule of God through Christ, and then the woman is to literally slide or come under the man. Now, that's God's flow in history. So everybody has what I call a governing authority. Amen? Everybody has a covering, saint. That's why I say the problem that's going on, this is a creation issue and not a culture issue. It ain't got nothing to do with living in the old days or living in the 21st century, and people skip the Bible and jump to culture. Where they do that at? Because he being Apostle Paul, saying this has to do with how things were set up originally by the Creator. Because 1 Timothy 2:13 lays this over, and it says, the reason why men are to be the final authority and not women, because he says Adam was created first before Eve. He did not, help me, Holy Ghost, he did not make Adam and Eve at the same time on purpose, because Adam, saints, would be responsible, and he would be responsible for Eve, and Eve would come underneath Adam. That's why it wasn't until Adam partaked of the tree that then their eyes was open. Adam could have covered her, and things would be different right now. But I guess he told them, you know, I'm the only woman here on earth. So the idea is that, saints, this is a creation issue. So to fight the issue is to fight creation. And to fight creation is to fight the Creator. Ooh. And exactly what you see in marriages today, saints, is the result of so many fighting the Creator and what he's established, his ordained ministry when it comes to marriage, his ordained structure when it comes to family. It is mind-blowing at times, because I understand God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing, saints, if you align yourself under his rule. So, if you are a rebellious wife or a dishonoring wife who is refusing to come under, and let me underscore this again, saints, the legitimate authority of her husband, then that means things that God wants to do and act on your behalf will not be done, because understand this, your angel that has been assigned to you will not be given instructions to do it. Yes, 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 we all have an angel assigned to us. Just take a look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. We all got an angel assigned to us, a ministering angel, amen? And I know I'm working minds over time. So as we go on, that simply means, saints, you literally wind up losing out on divine intervention. So many rebellious wives are blocking God while they still going to church.
Amen.
Though you may not be going to the physical edifice right now, but so many rebellious wives are blocking their blessings while they still going to church.
Amen.
Let me move on. Understand this. There is, in heaven, there is no marriage in heaven. Amen. So when you get raptured up to heaven, there will be no marriage. I know many are probably saying, thank you, Jesus. Why won't there be marriage, Bishop? I'm glad you asked me, Brother Darrell. Because Christ will be with his church. Amen? There will be no marriage, no need for marriage, because Christ will now be with his church.
Oh, no.
See, the reason why God created marriage for Christians is to model the love of Christ for the church and the response of the church to love of Christ through submission. And since Jesus is now with his church, or will be with his church after the rapture, there will be no need for the illustration anymore. And there will be no desire for the institution anymore. Let me blow your mind with this. I had to ask God, do I really have to talk about this right now? Obviously, he said he did. I did, and that's why I'm talking about it. This is going to blow your mind, saints. There is no command in the Bible for a woman to love her husband. If it is, find it. I'll wait. There is no command, keyword, there is no command in the Bible for a woman to love her husband. The closest you get to it is in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33, where it says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife, and the wife, and the wife. See that, or make sure that she reverence or respect her husband. Now, understand this. There's references of women loving their husbands, but there's no command. But there's commands for a husband to love his wife, but there's not a command for a wife to love her husband.
Amen.
The command in verse 33 of Ephesians is that she respects her husband and that she respects his position as spiritual leader of the family. Because, ladies, what your husband needs is not in his heart, amen? It's in his head. That's why women regularly say, I don't believe that he loves me. But a man would regularly say, I don't believe that she respects me. Because what a man is needing, what a man is wanting, what a man is desiring, and what he feeds off of is respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Amen.
Find out what it means to me. So, to respect means what? To hold in high esteem. Amen. To reverence, to hold up in high esteem. You ought to respect your husband, even when you disagree with him. Because God is simply saying that you can agree to disagree in love and respect.
Amen.
And a kingdom woman should not just be beautiful on the outside, but on the inside as well.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the beauty of this is all reciprocal to a husband, amen? And
amen.
A kingdom husband should not only see this respect on the outside, but also in the home. So, ladies, make sure you are looking at God's holy mirror, which is his word, amen, to make sure you're beautiful on the inside. Because looking pretty and cussing them out don't work.
Amen.
Looking pretty and putting them down don't work. Looking pretty and talking to your girlfriends about them doesn't work. And God is saying this respect ought to be visible. It ought to be seen. What are you saying, Bishop? I'm simply saying this. You ought to be his helpmate and not his hurtmate. You
Amen.
Ought to be his soulmate and not his scoldmate. Amen? Saints, when you look at the woman in Proverbs 31, she's helping her husband out in all kinds of ways. She's helping him out in ministry. She's helping him out in real estate. She's helping him out with the poor. She's helping him out with the kids. And the thing that really made her stand out, saints, is she feared God. She took God seriously. And her husband was known in the gates. The beautiful thing, as I read this story, as God was talking to me, I realized that my life right now, my life, the walk heard from the All-American to the pro basketball player to right now, my life as of today would never have happened if it wasn't for Apostle. I know that. I stand on it. I put my life on it. I had to be obedient to receive what God had for me. The things that have fallen in place in my life would have never happened if it wasn't for Apostle. None of this would have happened without my wife. People may know me, but they don't know what she has done and poured into me behind the scenes. I ain't even a finished product, but I'm a product of what she has poured in me.
Amen.
They have no idea. So, it should not just be in what he sees, ladies, but in what he hears. Amen? Because 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 makes it plain when it says, the holy woman also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And when she called him Lord, according to Genesis 18 and 12, because this is going on when God told her that she was going to have a baby at 90 years old. And when she called Abraham Lord, understand this, saints, she was not worshiping Abraham. Amen. She was showing him respect. And when she called Abraham Lord, God came back to her, hallelujah, and said, is anything too impossible for me?
Amen.
Jesus. Oh, the Hebrew says it like this. It says, is anything too wonderful for Jehovah? Is anything too wonderful for Jehovah? So when she called Abraham Lord, she got a miracle. Now, I know y'all ain't trying to have no more babies, but that's not my point. Amen? The point is God broke into her messed up situation that had gone on for 90 years. Woo! Can you imagine? And turned that thing around when she respected Abraham. So could you be blocking your miracle? Could you be blocking your miracle because God doesn't see you respecting your husband? So, ladies, we need to not only respect him in the church house, but in your house. And this is what God has called us to in order for God to work and bring about the kind of relationship that he can turn things around. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I truly hope those that were on the line, men and women, to be able to see what God in his biblical principles and his ordained word allows us to see about what it takes to become a kingdom wife, as we got to see what it takes to become a kingdom husband and a kingdom man. Amen. But most of all, not only what it takes to become a kingdom wife, what does it look like? So I hope that the word was not only received, but it won't just be heard, but that it will be applied. Those that are wives and those that may choose to be wives in the future. Those that are husbands and those that may choose to be husbands in the future, or those that just want to obtain the knowledge to be able to pass on to other people, because this is all about the kingdom. This is all about how the first covenant of marriage and the institution of family can not just make the household good, but make the world at large great. And because of the separation of the men and the women, and 74% of the women raising the children, and the men have been MIA, missing in action, this is the downfall of what we're dealing with today in so many areas. Hallelujah. So I thank God for the word. I thank God for, as I said earlier, for a word from the word. Amen. I thank God for a word that will help not only grow the relational ministry of marriage, but that we are able to pull what God is saying to each and every one of us when it comes to our individual parts to play in the ministry of marriage, in this covenant that he has created from the very beginning. Amen? And that we be able to pull it from the principle of the word and not from culture. Amen? Not what people expect. Because now people have disenchanted and they have already ripped the institution of marriage apart just by same-sex marriage. Amen?
Amen.
So I thank God for this word, and I thank God for everyone that was on the line. Amen? And I ask if anybody is on this line that does not know Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and you desire to know him for yourself, you desire to not just know his institution of marriage, but to know the very thing that he died for, and which was you, that you too can have a fruitful and a prosperous life, that you too, that even in the midst of this paranoia and this panic in this pandemic, that you can be at peace like so many of us that are walking with Christ. You too can have the love and the peace that surpasses all understanding. But you can't get that unless you got Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So if you want to know Christ at this very moment, because no man knows the day or the hour, hundreds of thousands, of people have died because of something invisible. We don't know when we are going to be here and when we ain't. So the beauty is you get to jump on board. So if anything ever happens, you know that you will have life and life eternally with Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So if you want the best gift in the world, all you have to say with me and repeat after me, those that are on the line or those that may listen to this recording in the future, Lord, please forgive me, a sinner. I come humbly to you, thanking you, Lord, that at this moment that you cleanse my heart. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for being a sinner, Lord, and that you not only wash me clean, but because you said that, you said, Father, that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, that I too shall be saved. So I thank you, Lord, as I confess with my mouth that I believe in Jesus Christ, that he died and he rose for me, that I believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and that I too, as so many, have new life. And if you have said this prayer with me, you do today officially have new life. Amen? And most of all, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Dow Golden, close us out.
Yes. I want to say, and Father God, I thank thee this evening for spreading the word on how to be aligned as a man in a marriage. I thank Bishop Hurd for giving me the strength and multitude to get the Bible study and hear the word. I just thank you, O Lord, for Bishop Hurd consistently every Wednesday bringing us knowledge to live, knowledge, to grow, knowledge to understand in a biblical sense of what it takes to really live as a Christ-like being for his ministry and his wife along with him in the ministry. And showing people by example, Lord, that if you stay in alignment, how truly powerful God's word can be. And I just can't say enough, Lord, how this man and husband and wife continue to just bless us with knowledge of living here on earth, because the ultimate goal for all of us is truly to get to heaven.
Amen.
After we move on in the physical sense of these bodies here on earth. May he continue, he and his wife, Lord, to just consistently bless us in his ministry. And I ask that you keep me going as much as possible. Anybody else that's on the line, to keep going to hear this word.
Amen.
For these truly blessings, we ask your name's sake, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Beloved agape love, let us go in peace and serve the Lord and be a witness. Amen.
Amen.